Book of Daniel, chapter 2, please. Book of Daniel, chapter 2. That may as be nice to be fed from the Word of God already in connection with the body of Christ, what we are and what we're going to be. Now, there is one thing that we are told in the Second Epistle to Corinthians, chapter 6 and verse 1. It says, we are co-workers together with Him. Now that takes in all the gifts. And that takes in all the body of Christ. Co-workers together with Him. And that's what each one of us that form part of the body is engaged in, working for Him. Now, there are some ways that each one of us can work. As you've been hearing, we're all different. Every one of us is different. I couldn't be dear Brother Tooney, how easy he paid me to be. I couldn't get up and talk so easy and nice. That's not my trade at all. And he wouldn't want to be me, I'm sure. But we have all got gifts different. Now, to be co-workers together, I don't care who you are, whether you have the gift of speaking, whether it's prophecy or teaching, or whatever it is, there's ways you can help. First of all, to be prompt in your seat, that's a wonderful way to help. Second, to be prayerful for the meetings and for those that are engaged in the ministry. Thirdly, to be pleasant. That's one thing I have enjoyed about coming here to Sioux City. Everybody looks pleasant. Why, they just look happy and they're really impressed that they're really saved. You know, the thing I hate is to see a big long face on an individual Christian. I do. It always reminds me of a boy that was talking to Brother Elliot and I one day, and he was rubbing a big old mule's face out. He says, my, he says, that mule would make a wonderful Christian, he says to Brother Elliot. And Elliot was stunned talking about a mule being a Christian, no mules in the ark. And he says, why? He says, it's got a long face. And you know, we have to be pleasant. And then we have to be present in our seats. And very, very practical. There's about six P's how we can be workers together with Him. Prayerful, that's good. Practical, using your car and bringing others out to the meeting tonight to hear the gospel. And prompt, don't come in 5 or 10 or 15 minutes late. Come in a little early. And then be present, and then be pleasant to look at. Now, I want to read a verse or two, and if I don't get started, I'll never get stopped. Chapter 2, verse 8 of Daniel 3. The king answered and said, I know of a certainty that you will gain the time, because you see, the thing is gone from me. That was the dream, the forgotten dream of the king. But if you will make none unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you, for ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me, till the time be changed. Therefore tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye can show me the interpretation thereof. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there's not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, or ruler that asks such things at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. And a rare thing that the king requires, and there's none other that can show it before the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. For this cause the king was angry and very furious, commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and the sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. And Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation thereof. Now I might read all the chapter, but you can read it at your leisure. Now I want just to talk to you a little bit in regards to what characterizes a man of God, one who forms part of the body of Christ, as you've been hearing about already this afternoon. Now I know that if you were up here, you probably would be saying, well, I would just tell them that we're not living in days similar to that of Daniel, and you can't compare Daniel's life with the life of the individual Christian today. Well, we'll just look at a few things, and then you can form your opinion just the same as I might form my opinion. First of all, I want you to notice that the holy city of Jerusalem was destroyed, and the temple was lying waste, and the silver and the gold, or the gold and the silver vessels, were carried away to Babylon. And not only so, but the people of God were carried away captives too. Now when you look at the holy city lying waste, and the temple destroyed like it was, of course, you say, well, that was too bad. Well, when you and I look today in regards to the church, the way it started out on the day of Pentecost, they were all with one accord in one place, and they were all of one mind, and they continued that way as we go through the Acts of the Apostles. Today, my friends, they're all split up into so many different parts, and you couldn't find all the body of Christ even if you were paid for. Why, the body of Christ seems to be so much scattered, the church is scattered everywhere. But as the church was together in its infancy, it's going to be together again. Thank God it is. And there may be a possibility that the church will be together before this conference is over. The Lord Jesus is going to come. And the dead in Christ will be raised first. And you and I, saved by the grace of God, our bodies will be changed, and in a moment's notice we'll be caught up together in the air. Now I don't believe, my friends, and I don't hesitate to say so, although some of our brethren have taught and taught it widely, that there's going to be a split rapture when Jesus comes. They don't believe that. The Lord Jesus is going to take his blood-bought church, the body, out of this world before the final judgment comes. And he's going to take his Holy Spirit out. He that letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. So we find here was the condition in Daniel's day. The church, or not the church, the Christians, the Israelite people, were carried away captives. And, of course, you say, well, now listen, Brother Tom, it's just like this. You know, when you're in Rome, you just simply do what Rome does. And of course, if you're carried away captive into Babylon, you just do like the Babylonians do too. It's not the way they do around the places you go. Well, at any rate, I'll say that Daniel, he's not going to do that. My friend, he's not going to do just like the Babylonians are doing. And I trust you, dear saints of God, won't go away from this conference to do that either. We're in the world, but we're certainly not off the world. We're ambassadors representing Christ, the new heaven to come. And so we find here, he asks, and all the thing, now listen, you know, you might as well be one of us, you people, why might as well join hands with us? Why not just get your old hearts, the strings tightened up, and get the old chords together, and just play us one of those old songs of Zion, and everything will go all right in Babylon. That's what they did, my friend. And then they come along and say, now listen, come along, sing us one of the songs of Zion. And they hung their hearts right up in the willows, and they said, how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? My friends, you can't go into Babylon and join hands with Babylon, and you can't mix up the word of God, my friends, to entertain the world. And so we find here is Daniel, and what characterized him as a man of God, and the Bible says he was a man of God. was this. First of all, he was a man of purity. And every one of us, saved by the grace of God, our lives should be characterized by purity. We should be pure as to our heart's condition. Oh, I know the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. But the word of God, my friends, to Timothy, was to have a pure heart and a good conscience and to keep yourself pure. That is to keep yourselves, my friends, from getting trapped into the world and the ways of the world and becoming like them that go down into the pit. And so we find the first thing in connection with Daniel, he was a man of purity. So was Joseph. First of all, you get him as a life in the home. Why there, when things are not going well in the home, and there's ups and downs, and there's persecution from his own brethren, and there's envy and jealousy, why the first thing we see about Joseph, why he's a lovely man in the home. And he was loved of the father. And the coat that he wore, my friend, spelled one thing, that his father loved him. But my friend, his brethren hated him. Sometimes if you live godly in this present evil world, why you're not to wonder or marvel at the world hates you. And you don't need to expect everyone to see eye to eye with you. But there was Joseph, he lived a pure life in the world, or in the home. And he lived a pure life in the world too, if you want to put it that way. And when he was cast down through no fault of his own into the dungeon, he did not go down with a great big long face like a Missouri mule, my friends. When he was cast down for no fault of his own, he went down, my friends, into the old dungeon with a smile on his face that he could suffer for Jesus Christ. And so did the apostle Paul and Silas. When they were put into the Philippian jail through no fault of their own, you look at those men hanging from those old ropes and their feet fast in the stock. What are they doing? They're singing the songs of Zion, the songs they couldn't sing in Babylon, my friend. When you can hear those men singing and praising the God of heaven and pray. And the jailer heard them as well as the prisoners heard. Those men, there was no difference in the life. Purity characterized those men. But I must not get off on a sideline. The next thing that I want to notice and hurry it on is simply this. Not only was this man Daniel characterized by purity, and certainly those that bear the tidings of the Lord, their lives should be clean for God. God requires clean vessels. The next thing you see about him, he was a man of purpose. Some of us have got very little. My, the first little cyclone that comes along seems to twist us off our feet. You know, it's surprising when you move around. Why, I was just telling someone the other night, there was a family got saved here. One of them got saved in meetings I had 3 years ago. My, it says he's 3 years old, he should be running around now. And the other one got saved when dear brother Patterson was there just a short time ago. And that was her husband. And I was up to see the battle going. I was coming through that park where this assembly really is, and I stopped in on a Sunday night. And I said, well, where was Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so? I heard that he just got saved a couple of weeks ago. And they began to make all kinds of excuses for him. Well, someone was to pick them up, and they didn't pick them up. And someone else thought to go, but they were too busy. I said, didn't he get saved here? Short time, yes, he got saved, gloriously saved. And I said, she professed to be saved 3 years ago, gloriously saved, yes. And I said, they were waiting for someone to pick them up and to carry them to the meeting. I said, I don't understand for the life of me. A block and a half away from the gospel hall, and yet they're waiting for someone to carry them to the meetings, and you can, there's not a shop or a store in that town that they can't visit during the week. You know, when the man in the third chapter of the Acts, when he got saved, when he got healed, well, you notice what happened. First of all, he stood up. My, I tell you, we need to stand on both feet these days for God, and we need to contend earnestly for the truth of God. He stood up on his feet, and then he began to leap. Why, everybody knew there's a man that never stood on his feet in his lifetime. He's been lame from his barn. There's a man that lay at the beautiful gate of the temple. Why, he's standing up and he's leaping. And he's walking. And he's following Jesus and he's praising Jesus. Everybody knew that that man was gloriously saved. I tell you, my friend, if you want to be hauled to the gospel chapel and you have to wait for someone to get on the old dial, Pullman dial it, and tell you there's going to be a meeting tonight, we'd like to have you out, I'm afraid that you need to be born again. Here's a man, and he's telling the lines with a purpose of hope. And that's what we looked at already today. You remember that this man, Barnabas, not much said about him, but when he went up to Antioch, when he says, with purpose of heart, he told them to cleave unto the Lord. Ah, you say, that's what I'd like to have. I'd like to have a real purpose in serving the Lord. To have a real purpose in serving the Lord, my friend, there's nothing going to turn you back. That's what it's meant to have a real purpose. You know when they told the Apostle Paul, now listen, you don't go to Jerusalem. If you do, they're going to just cut your head right off. Oh, there's glory to God, I'll get the crowd not much quicker. Well, he said he counted everything as dirt that he might win Christ. On this thing, because brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so didn't treat you right, and you're not coming out anymore for me, my friend, there's something wrong. This man had a purpose in heart. And that was to surrender his life entirely for God. And if you and I are really saved by the grace of God, you should surrender your life entirely to God. For that your bodies, a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable and well-pleasing to God. I think of the man of the 13th chapter of James. You remember, oh, he had a message from God always. And the Lord says, now listen. You carry that message and don't eat bread or drink water in a certain place. He listened to it. He heard God speaking. And then he went along and he sat down under an old oak. And someone else came along, an old prophet, by the way. And he says, well, I have a message from God too, and you're coming home to eat bread with me. And he turned aside from the way because of the voice of the old prophet. Listen, my friends. There are many today and they have turned aside by listening to someone else instead of listening to God and to God's word. Where do we get our marching orders from anyway as soldiers of the cross? We must get it from this book. We must be men and women of this book. There is absolutely nothing that you want to know and I want to know that you can't find it inside the covers of God's book. If you want to know, my friend, have you been healing already? How do you get a husband? You get it in this book. If you want to know how to get a wife, you get it in this book. And if you want to know how to run your home, you'll get it in the book. And I'll tell you something else. There's not one solitary thing that you want to do that you can't find it inside the covers of the book, my friends. What you need to do is have a purpose in serving the Lord. This man was not only a man, my friends, of purity, but he was a man of God. Then there's another thing that I would say about him too. Look, you get in chapter 1 here. First of all, verse 8 says, and Daniel purposed in his heart, he would not defile himself with the king's meat. Now you can see without me saying one word, that he was not only a man of purpose, but he was a man that was careful as to his eats. You know, there's some of us more careful as to the kind and grade of oil that we put in our automobiles than we are into the food that we give the Spirit of God. Why, well, there's got to be a 10, 20, 30. There's got to be one of these specials now. And you'll just have a complete argument with the gasoline man if you don't have the right kind or the grade of oil. You're so careful. And yet, my friends, when it comes to the things of God, anything will do God. Well, we can sit down and we can feed on the crust that we have today. Oh, you said not just an old dish rag, that's all. Why, I saw them come home from the worship meeting, and the first thing I picked up was the old funny paper. Now, I'm not condemning the papers. I like to know about Princess Margaret getting married and those things too. I like to know, my friends, what's happening in the world. But what I want to say, we should be men and women, my friends, with an appetite for the Word of God. An appetite to pray. An appetite to turn aside. To do as David did, he said he went in. Thank God it was in and he sat down in the presence of the Lord and let the Lord talk to him. We should have an appetite, my friends, for fellowship as you've been hearing about this afternoon. called into fellowship with his dear son and fellowship one with another. You don't need to tell me that you are saved and you have got absolutely no heart for God and you've got no heart for God's people. When those dear saints of God got saved in the early stages of the church, we find that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching in fellowship, that partnership together. There's not a better old ship to be in than the old ship called fellowship. And I hope there's some of you dropped out of the old ship like the man we read that fell from the third loft. I hope you don't get the gangplank too high that he can't get back in again. I hope there's someone like the Apostle Paul that will slip out of the side door and go down and put his arms around him and bring him up and say his life is still in it. He needed restoration. He didn't need to be gone. And so we find, my friends, that God would have us to be careful as to the food we eat. That is, as newborn babes desires the sincere milk of the Word of God, that we may grow thereby. Are you feeding on this, God? Are you doing like Jeremiah of old? He says, thy word was found and I did eat it. Are you doing like the psalmist when he says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I will not sin against God, my friend, this book that I hold dearly in my hand this afternoon, this book, the Bible, will keep you from sin, but sin will keep you from the book. This man that I have before me was a man, my friends, a man of purity. He was a man of purpose, and he was a man that was careful as to his diet. Now I noticed something else about him. I won't take time to go into the results. He was put on trial here for 10 days. Why, he says, I'm not going to go near the old Babylonian wine. I'm not going to touch those things. God has told me why they'll contaminate me to touch those things. My, I can see this man and look at when he comes out after the test. You can see the purity, you can see the beauty, you can see the wisdom. And he says there was, verse 17, as for these four children, God gave them knowledge. He gave them knowledge, yes, and skill in all learning, wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now you talk about these men, their faces were shining for God. They didn't need any of the old Babylonian way. They didn't need a lot of the old trash that you have today. Oh, now listen, you know our young people have to have a certain amount of amusement. They've got to have a certain amount of entertainment. Just before leaving home, they came in a dear servant of the Lord and he said, why? He said, I feel sorry for your two girls. You know, they've got nothing in this old world to live for. I want to tell you, my friends, that you don't need to feel sorry for my two girls because God saved them early in life. When they've got a shepherd, as you've been hearing about, they can say from their heart, that the Lord Jesus is my shepherd, I shall not want. There's no reason for them to be unhappy. There's no reason, my friends, for them to be discontented, because godliness with contentment is great gain. And here we find as Daniel, and my, you can see him here, and he's happy, and he's content. I can see another man, and he's come out of the ark. Now, his name is Noah. Now, you know, oh man, he's happy he was in the ark during the old flood. He was happy, my friends, that he wasn't out there with the antediluvians. And he prepared an ark for the sailing of his household. One day, God says, all right, you can uncover the roof, and we're going to take the whole family out. And he did that. They went out on the top with him. That's the way we're going out someday. And when they went out, well, he was so happy, he just got the family of eight around him. Eight speaks of resurrection. And you know, he just opened up the book and he began to read and he began to feed on the bread that came down from God out of heaven. And there was that little family altar. You know what happened? God smelled the sweet smell. That's what happened. Oh, a sweet smell going up from the family altar. But you know what happened? He got so busy with the old vineyard, and he didn't have time for the family offering. You know, we never was in a world that's so busy as the world we're living in today. There are more conveniences now than they've ever had in all their lives. And when we started out on no thing like this. And then when they got a little bit more modern, I went like this. And then I got a little more modern one morning. I got up and there was a different machine on the porch. and nothing but God knows where it came from, and we just put the thing right in, and then we pressed the button and it went like this. And then a little later, why, everything got a little different. Now we just throw the clothes in and we expect them to come out dry, and we expect them to come out iron, and did all we've got to do is put them on the back. And yet, my friends, I haven't got time for to go to meeting. And I haven't got time, my friends, to even kiss the wife anymore. They never was contented to stay at home at night. No, no, no. If you come home and tell your wife you loved her, she'd almost think she hadn't heard that from the day you were married, probably. Busy. Streamlined it. But dear old man, oh, got so busy, and he got so busy in the bank, and he began to do just what many are doing today. He began to leave God out of his life. No time for the family altar in the morning, rush to work. No time at night when you come home tired and you must go to bed. And God was left out. And the sad thing about it, one day he got meddling with the wine. The thing that he was told not to touch. But Daniel said, I'm not going to go near that wine, that Babylonian wine. I'm not going to contaminate my soul with that. His face looked brighter than any of the Babylonians. But any Christian's face would. Why Stephen's face was shining. Must go on. The next thing I find out about this dear man, and my, he was a man of prayer. The king has forgotten his dream and his trouble, but never could a man wanting anybody to come along and say, you tell me what I dreamed last night. You know I had a dream, but I've forgotten my dream. I want you to tell me what I dreamed. Why, no king or nation or language would be so foolish to ask such a thing. Well, Daniel went to the king and he says, listen, why is this so urgent? Why are you passing this decree and putting these men in Babylon to death so quick? Why not have taken the wise men of Babylon and take Daniel and his three friends in too? He said, all I want is time to pray. He requested of the king a little time to pray. That was all. And the king says, all right, if you want to spend the prayer, you can. And he got down and he talked to his three friends. He said, we're going to get together. And we were two or three are together in my name, agreeing together. There's the Lord in the midst. And he says, whatsoever you ask in my name, I'll grant it to you. And I can see this little group, well, just a little handful of believers, four in all, and they have met together to pray. Why, the sentence of death is upon them now. And as we're praying, my God, I've got it. Why, the whole thing opened up and God just revealed the secret to him like that. And the life of those men was saved. Daniel was a man, my friend, of prayer. Not too many men of prayer today. Prayer's a forgotten thing. Oh, that prayer meeting is so dry. They go to everything else but the prayer meeting. Why is it so dry? Prayer is a time when we're talking to the Lord. When we're coming to speak to the Lord, shouldn't be dry. Daniel didn't think it was dry when his life was at stake. And God revealed him, and he went back to the king. Now you can see him going before the king. Daniel, my friend, was a humble man. The king wanted to bestow honor and dignity and everything else. Oh no, he said, I'm nothing better than the other. The interpretation belongs to someone higher than me. It's the living God in heaven that has revealed this secret, not in me at all. Daniel was a humble man. And let me say again, that Daniel was not only a man of prayer, not only a humble man, but Daniel was a man of prayer. He that offereth praise glorifieth God. He that offereth praise glorifieth God. He didn't forget to give God the glory. Not unto me, but unto him shall the glory. This man, Daniel, my friend, was like the man of the 10 lepers that returned to give God the glory. He was a man of courage. 60 years after that, another jealousy rose up. And I said, now listen, we're going to have to get rid of this man of God. You know, when we come into his presence, you know, It just bothers us quite a little bit. When you come into the presence of that man, you know, your sin bothers you. We've got to get rid of this man down. And we made a plot. Now listen, we are going to honor you, O King. We want you to sign this decree. And that is that anyone that asks a petition within 30 days, apart from asking of you, why we're going to put them into the dead and bring them life. That's the plot. They knew you couldn't find it in his life because he was a man of purity. They must get it in his blood. So they got the thing signed by the king, and no petitions could be asked of God or anyone else for 30 days. Well, I hear someone say, well, it's not going to hurt Daniel for to be quiet for 40 days. Why dare you get mistreated and just go and hide yourself? Nobody would be any the wiser of it. Why, we can go on a 30 days vacation and we can have a good old time and we'll come back and serve the Lord. Listen, no. Daniel says, I just do as I've been doing before. Don't make any difference to me whether he signed the writing or not. And his habit was, he went in three times a day with his windows open towards Jerusalem, into the presence of God. He wasn't going to close the windows so people wouldn't see him pray. It's not such a terrible sin to pray. You'd almost think you were committing a crime the way some people, if they were on their knees and someone knocked at the door, they'd jump right up. They're afraid to be seen praying. It's no crime to be praying. Daniel, my friends, although looking at it from the standpoint of those people, it meant his life. And yet he said, I'm just going to keep on doing praying three times a day to God, the living God. And the God, man, you talk about a man of courage. Yeah. Courage was a man characterized by faith with Daniel. And what happened? Well, we got it. And they just did what they were going to do. They cast them into the den filled with lions. And you know, the lions began to pour like a little chicken. My, you just envy them down there. Why, he lay down there and he put his head down on the big old lion and listened to it for all night and he never slept. Well, they probably fell on his life. Peter slept between two soldiers. This man is sleeping between the lions. God has closed the mouths of the lions. And in the morning the king was woke up. Oh, he couldn't sleep, but Daniel had a good sleep. You know, it's not bad to go down into a lion's den if you bring the Lord with you. It's not bad to go down into a prison like Joseph if you bring the Lord with you. But I say, woe unto you if you go down without the Lord. And Daniel went down there, and the king said, Daniel. And then he speaks a little word of praise to his God. Don't need to worry. God has closed the lion's mouth. I'm all right. Bring them right up. And I'm going to close this little message only 30 times from the God. By the 10th chapter, I want you to read. Before going to chapter 10, I'll just read a verse in chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 3. Then this Daniel was preferred above all the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him over the whole realm. Now chapter 10, please. Chapter 10. And verse 11. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and I stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood firmly. Then look at verse 19, and said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Now that's my message. First of all, what characterized Daniel was a life lived for God. That should characterize each one of us as formed part of the body of Christ. Second, he was a man of a purpose. He had a purpose in serving the Lord. No turning back. Thirdly, he was careful as to his food, as to what he eats. If there's one thing you and I should be careful today, and that is to feed upon the bread of life. Christ is that bread that came down from God out of heaven. Then we saw that this man was a man of prayer. When prayers and circumstances came up, he just took it to God in prayer. And then my friends, he was a man of courage. And he was a man of wisdom. He was a man that was persecuted. If you live godly in this world, you'll be persecuted. He was a man with an excellent spirit of the living God. And you and I should be characterized with an excellent spirit. And then at the end of the journey, like the Apostle Paul, he would say, I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. Henceforth has laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And Daniel, at the end of the journey, it said of him, he was a man greatly beloved. He was a man greatly beloved. Wouldn't you like to have the well done at the end of the journey? Wouldn't you like to have the master's approval? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. That characterized Daniel when it was said of him, Daniel greatly beloved. May the Lord bless his word. May each one of us seek to go in and to give our lives in return for him for what he has done for us.